Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
The following is an exclusive presentation of the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League.
Yeah! Touchdown! Panthers!
This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Second into McCaffrey up the middle, running free to the 10, the 5, touchdown! Christian McCaffrey!
This team hasn't given up all year, and you know, no matter what was going on, we all believe in each other and believe in our abilities, and we just had to keep fighting, and you know, we're going to keep fighting to the end of the season. You know, that's what's great about this locker room.
And now, along with Jim Zocchi and Eugene Robinson, here's McMixon with Panther Talk, live from the Panthers broadcast facility at Bank of America Stadium.
A little bit of a disclaimer. The broadcast roundtable you're getting ready to hear to start the show off tonight is not scripted. It may be a little loose. It's a little imprecise, but thus has been kind of the Carolina Panthers 2019 season. Our broadcast roundtable is brought to you by Geico. You go to geico.com and invest 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Here's where we start the show tonight. We're going to talk about quarterbacks. Perry Fuel, at his noontime press conference today, is asked about possibly getting Will Greer oiled up and into a game. He said, we'll evaluate it. We'll look at it on Wednesday. Then, an hour or two later, there's a report on ProFootballTalk.com quoting unnamed sources as saying Will Greer will start the Colts game. Eugene, I'll start with you. If I'm Indianapolis, I would love that.
Absolutely.
What are you thinking?
Absolutely. It is a matter of Kyle Allen's in there or Will Greer, because what's been the problem has been the offensive line, the inability to protect the quarterback. I mean, I thought Will Greer didn't play as badly throwing the ball. There were some interceptions, yes. One was tipped, of course. But, I mean, I like his accuracy, and he actually kind of ran a little bit. He did make a couple of mistakes. I'll give him that. However, you put Will Greer in there, those guys are licking their chops. It's not number one. It's not Cam Newton where you say, I got to account for everything he does. It's a new guy coming in there, and they said, look, we've been able to eat off the left tackle. Atlanta's been able to eat off the left tackle. The Saints been able to eat off the left tackle. We're going to go ahead and put a guy on that left tackle for the Carolina Panthers and rush the quarterback. Whether it's a bull rush, a speed rush, we're going to rush this quarterback. And we're going to make him. We're going to make him beat us. And that's a tall tale when your line has been unstable and precarious at best.
We think so.
I think while the Panthers' goal every week, even in the preseason, is to win the game. So I don't think they're trying not to win the game, but they've got to take a look towards 2020 when you're 5-9 and you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs and you spend a third round pick on a quarterback, the most important position. I think it makes some sense to get him out there, get a little evaluation, but also get him some experience. I mean, that's the thing we keep hearing about from Jake DeLome talking about Kyle Allen, what he's going through is that has to begin at some point. So this is an opportunity beyond the preseason to get him some playing time. He's not taking a snap in the regular season game, so at least heading into the offseason, not that you'd have like a judgment on what we've got in Will Greer, but to let him learn under fire how to play NFL quarterback a little bit. So it makes a lot of sense considering where they are right now.
Yeah, I'm answering the question from the perspective, would I like to see Will Greer in it? If I'm the other team, yes,
of course,
I would.
Of course.
You both make good points. So now let's do this. Okay, I've got I brought a legal pad.
Okay.
And so you guys help me with this. I'm going to draw a line down the middle, and we're going to talk about Cam Newton for a second. So let's first list the positives. And again, we don't coach the team. We don't take us too seriously. We all love the Panthers, and we love working here. But this is what you're talking about. Don't lie to us, because you've had the same discussions. New coach is going to come in. So let's first list the positives for retaining Cam Newton for the last year of his contract. I'll go first.
Okay.
At $19.1 million compensation package, that would be a pretty good amount of money to pay for the chance that Newton comes back healthy and plays well.
I think that's positive, no doubt. 240 touchdowns. 240 touchdowns. 58 of whom of which are running touchdowns.
Zoe?
Well, He's an MVP. He's been to a Super Bowl. I mean, his pedigree is so much more than what is currently on the roster, not knowing what might be added in the offseason. I mean, what he's accomplished in this league through, this was what, his ninth year in the league or eighth year? Eight or nine.
It's, yeah.
Came in with Coach Rivera. So Coach,
ninth year. So eight years and two games, as it turned out for him, to this point with his injury. But just the experience and the playoff games against, been to a Super Bowl, been an MVP. I mean, there's nothing that compares to that experience and the accomplishments that he's had. And nobody runs like he does on this roster. Now we've got some guys in the league.
Nobody runs like he has.
Right.
No, can he do that again? Can he recapture that?
Well, that we don't know. So that's an unknown. But I think there's got to, you began with a healthy Cam Newton. So I'm not expecting 800-yard Cam, but at least like what Russell Wilson's doing these days, you know, 350, something like that.
Okay, my turn again. On the positive side, the business side of the Carolina Panthers. This is your guy that turned FanFest into 6,000 people showing up to 50,000 people paying $5 a head to show up.
No doubt.
Your turn again, Eugene. And let me know when we're out of the pile. Eventually, we'll run out of these, and then we'll go to the minus side, and then we'll decide what the Panthers should do.
And here it is. There is absolutely no doubt, and it's unmistakably, this dude is a leader on the field. He's hard to stop, and he thinks that nobody can stop him. And that is huge at the quarterback position, that you feel almost invincible, that Superman persona. You really do. And I was thinking about the touchdowns that he's made, jumping over people, running through defensive ends, running safety men, throwing the rock. I mean, he really believes that no one can beat him, and he plays that way. So that's a big positive.
All right, so I'll give you one more from me. Now, this is a big one. It's a prove-it year. He's got to prove that he can be the Cam Newton we remember, not the one that's been dinged up. And by that, I think he'll be diving at pylons. He'll be jumping if he's
physically.
That's
huge right there. That's huge.
But I think he's in a contract year that's going to run out. That $19 million is going to run out after this year. And then he's got one more shot at one more big contract. You're going to get, from a not holding back physically, you're going to get everything that he could put out there on the field to get that one big contract one more time.
I like it. And then maybe we're looking at it too hard, but maybe perspective reshaped a bit by having to sit out, by having to watch. We know that's been difficult for him. Okay, I'll go another positive, and then we'll go to the minus side of the ledger. He'd be sort of a kitchen pass for the new coach. He'd be sort of a get-out-of-jail-free card for the new coach, because if you don't bring Cam Newton back, then what? Now it's Kyle Allen, Will Greer, draft choice du jour, free agent du jour. Even if it was just a one-year deal, the new coach would be able to...
Absolutely.
See what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, absolutely. And can I add on to this? With the collapse of what we've seen with this team and at the quarterback position, if I'm Cam Newton, I'm saying this. I told you y'all needed me. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I told you guys need me. So look what happened when I'm not there. And if I'm there, I bet you this would not be the scenario. This would not be the narrative. I bet you that's what he's thinking as a player, that, hey, things collapse. When I say I'm going to go ahead and build it back up again.
And in 2018, he was pretty good.
Yes, he was.
Through eight games.
Yes, he was.
The Panthers were 6-2. Okay, let's go to the minus side.
All right.
I'll start. Cam Newton, let's just call it for what it is. He comes packaged with some things, right? He likes his own, I don't know, music in the locker room, or his own photographers to take his picture, his own, the way that he goes out for the coin toss.
Call it the distraction bucket.
Right. So a new coach would inherit that, and along with all the other things the new head coach would have to manage and deal with would be
that. Yes.
Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
A strong personality, you would say.
I think that's fair.
And there are certain coaches that handle that better than others. Like, some can handle, like, I thought actually Ron Rivera was really good about handling different types of personalities, where some just like, let's just say it, Dave Gettleman didn't like guys that were kind of outside, you know, being all team all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. He was just very old school in that way. I would say the biggest one, obviously, is what is the health? I mean, you can have surgeries and you can have rehabs and you can be on a practice field and be in shorts and a T-shirt and feel good. But what is the shoulder? What is the foot? You know, where is that at? What is he going to be 31 next season?
Yeah,
he'll be 31 next season. So where is all that with the cumulative? And I've said this before on this show and other shows. I look at him more like in running back years than quarterback years. I don't look at him like he's going to be Drew Brees playing when he's 40. I look at him as a 31-year-old running back who's playing quarterback, because of the number of hits he's taken by playing that way.
And can, okay, and here's a, maybe a lesser, the minus. Can he take a lesser role so that the team could evolve to be more of the Carolina Panthers and not so Cam-centric as it's been?
Yeah, maybe. I'll add one more. We got to take a break, and that would be throwing mechanics. Even with all the positives that we listed, would he still, if he comes back with a different kind of perspective and ready to prove the doubters wrong and healthy and all that, will he still be a 58-59% completion passer who might miss open receivers and break your heart?
But used to make it up by running for 700-800 yards a year and running for 10 touchdowns.
Those are things some of the coaches have to ask.
We don't know if that's there.
Answer the questions.
More and more, I'm thinking that you got to bring it back.
Yeah, because on that ledger, on the positive side ledger, you got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 thing, and you only got like 2, 3 things on the other side.
Yeah, but we'll see. We don't. I will not be taking this to David Tepper saying Eugene and Jim and I we broke this.
Why did you put my name first?
No, I know how it's going.
Eugene and Jim
were talking, so I wrote these notes down.
Eugene and Jim.
Yeah. Well, Eugene and Jim were talking. I went ahead and documented what they were saying.
Yeah, I got you.
I told them to stop talking about it, but they wouldn't listen to me.
I'm with you, win or tie, like I've always told you.
There you go.
All right, we got to talk to Coach Fuel. We'll do that when we come back. That was enjoyable. Thanks, guys, on the broadcast roundtable, along with Jim, Eugene. It's Mick. This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk, brought to you by Bank of America, official bank of the Carolina Panthers.
I've been saying this all year, and I'll continue to say it, that we have a really good group of guys, guys that really care about each other, guys that really care about football, guys that care about winning. At the end of the day, we've come up short the last few weeks, but when you see that will and that character, it perseveres, and it's deeper than football for us.
This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
How you doing? It's Mick Mixon with Perry Fuel, interim head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Two games left in the 2019 campaign. Let's talk about Seattle yesterday, Coach Fuel. What worked for you and the Carolina Panthers?
Well, I think what worked for us was our fans coming out, being there for us. We had some stops in the second half. We kept it a close game up until in the third and fourth quarter. It was a two-score game. We were able to come back and really make it a one-score game. We had the opportunity in the fourth quarter to get a stop, to possibly go and tie the football game, but we failed to get the stop. So I thought our guys fought hard, Mick, and I think they fought hard because we had a great crowd. They wanted to win a football game, and they dug deep to try to win a football game against a talented Seahawks team.
I was going to say against a good club, too. Coach Fuel, what was displeasing to your head coach's eye?
Yeah, the turnovers, obviously. And then when we created the turnover, it was taken away from us. That was a play that was reviewed, and it was a tough play to swallow. Because that's points at the end of half, and you have momentum, and you have all kind of juice going into the locker room and coming back out of the locker room. But we did have 3 interceptions, and that was tough.
You got some questions during your meeting with the press corps today. Of course, naturally, they want to talk about your quarterback situation. Where are things in your mind now to how the snaps will be allotted from here moving forward?
Yeah, we're just going to keep evaluating, Mick. We have 2 quarterbacks, and obviously when you're on a losing streak, the next guy off the bench is the best guy. You know, we know that in any sport. So we're going to keep evaluating. We'll look at our quarterbacks on Wednesday and see how they practice on Wednesday. We'll check them out on Thursday and Friday. We'll know after Wednesday's practice, you know, who's going to line up and play.
Perry Fuel on Panther Talk. You spent a lot of your life on the defensive side of the ball, Coach, but where do you fall on the subject of throwing a young quarterback in the NFL out there too early can be corrosive to his confidence?
Yeah. As a defensive coach, I always like to play against young quarterbacks, give them a lot of different looks, pressure them a lot, make them make quick decisions that they haven't been making throughout the season, change coverages on them and show one thing and bring another. And so when you expose a young quarterback to a situation like that, always felt like defensively we had the upper hand.
Coach Fuel, is this hard for you? Your name is on these wins and losses, but you really didn't have a chance to take this thing from training camp and shape it in your vision to today.
It's always tough. I think George Allen said, anytime you lose, a little piece of you dies. As a coach, that's really true. I mean, it's not an arm or a leg, but it's something internally. And being from this area, I don't want to disappoint the fans, and I don't want to disappoint your hometown and the people here, and so a little piece of you does die.
I think it was Bill Walsh that said that in coaching, wins are zero, and then losses take something away from you. Is there some wisdom in that as well?
No doubt about it, Nick.
Hard life. It's amazing what you guys do, though. So two more games left, Coach Fuel. What do you want your team to give you here as we go on the road now to play the Colts?
Well, I thought they gave us everything. They gave us their all on Sunday with their effort. They prepared to win during the course of the week. I expect the same thing out of these young men, but better execution and performance this week in Indianapolis.
Have you started looking at Jacoby Brissett and the Colts offense yet?
Definitely. Yeah, we've started working on the Indy offense. They have a potent offense. Frank is a heck of a football coach. He's done a nice job with that team. And they're explosive, and they'll be a tough opponent for us.
Do they fly around on D as well?
They definitely fly around on D. They have a good front four. The back seven is all working on the same page. They take the football away from you, and they stuff that run.
Last question, Coach Fuel. We'll cut you loose, let you get back to work. How did the Panther special teams perform yesterday overall against the Seahawks?
Yeah, I thought we had a good performance, especially since our performance against Atlanta wasn't very good from a special teams perspective. The kickoff returns were even at the 25-yard line. I thought we made good decisions in the punt game. We hit our PATs and field goals, as well as we made some really good decisions back there. I think we had one penalty on special teams that took us out of field position, but outside of that, we were very solid.
Thank you, Coach. Always good talking ball with you. Appreciate it. Good luck this week against Indy.
Hey, thank you, Mick.
Perry Fuel, defensive coach. That's where his taproot is. Eugene, you played safety. I'm not trying to project your answer onto you, but when I listen to Coach Fuel and talking to him, he seems like the kind of guy that his players would enjoy playing with him and for him.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, he has that passion that you want from your coach. And now, I don't know, I just feel a little bit more compelled. He mentioned about the effort, you know, because this team has great effort. There's no doubt about this. Not even the effort that we're talking about, it's just execution. And I feel compelled to say it because even in the – as we were coming back in the game, we saw Russell Wilson get out of the pocket, avoid some people, throw the ball down to get a first down. We know from day one that you got to keep that guy in the pocket as much as you can, because if he gets out, he's too deadly, he's too dangerous. Once again, execution. Even on that last drive, we saw the Carson get outside of Ross Cockrell on the left side and then Dante Jackson on the right side to pick up a first down. One was called back because of holding penalty, but the other one. So it's not, I don't think it's an effort. These guys got great effort. They got great resolve. There's no doubt about that. I think the execution of paying attention to detail, particularly on the defensive side, I think that's been one of the big things that's really crushed us this year.
I agree, and I would say everybody's to blame for this. Nobody's absolved from it. But I think this, I agree with Eugene in that, I think this year is more on the players than the coaches.
Yes.
Ron Rivera was a two-time NFL Coach of the Year. He didn't forget how to coach, and he's got a good staff here. We're seeing Perry Fuel and Scott Turner and these guys that are part of the staff that he brought in here, and they're good coaches too. So I'm not absolving them either. I think it's more on the players' execution, because I asked Perry Fuel in the postgame what's going on, and he described technically what's going on, that these guys are not holding their gaps, playing this gap control defense. You can only coach them up to the kickoff.
Yeah.
You know, then you can do some things during the game. So, again, I think it's the players, I think, own this more than the coaches. I bet if you ask the players, they would say the same thing.
They would definitely say the same thing.
Did you see where Greg Olsen has cleared the concussion protocol?
Oh, he has.
And he's planning to play these next couple of games?
He has. And so you get to read this because you did that.
Oh, I get to do it.
Because you're going to steal the information, you have to read all of it.
This injury update is brought to you by Ortho Carolina.
You're using your radio voice, aren't you?
Centers. I hope not. When time is of the essence, Ortho Carolina is conveniently located. Urgent care centers. I'm doing it monotone now.
What are you doing?
Orthopedic urgent care for every member of your family. Learn more at orthocarolina.com/urgent care. That's Ortho Carolina.
We improve. Thank you very much.
You improve.
Yeah, we improve too.
We will improve. We will bonus them one at the end.
No, we can't have Mick do it. We got to have Zoke do it because Zoke.
Well, he read the information that went with the donut.
You improve.
So when we come back, more Mick Mix. I mean, you wanted more Mick. You got more Mick with Mario Addison and Brian Burns. Don't want to miss it. Two of the outstanding players along the defensive line. When we come back on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk, brought to you by Coke, official soft drink of the Carolina Panthers.
I love this locker room. I love the guys on this team. You know, they're from up and down the roster. You know, these guys want to win. They want to work. You know, they want to work, and we've been putting in the work. And, you know, unfortunately, it's tough to win football games in the NFL, and, you know, it didn't work in our favor this year. But, you know, you got to put everything you have into it while you can and, you know, never take this game for granted.
Back to Mick Mixon, Jim Soakie, and Eugene Robinson with Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
I got about 500 pounds, maybe a little more, of NFL talent right here, defensive players. I'm going to get Super Mario to comment first and then introduce this young man, Mario, to your left. How do you feel about the way the team brought the fight and tried to keep swinging your sword yesterday against the Seahawks?
I'm very proud of the guys. You know, only we would have started a little faster. You know, at the end, we kind of picked it up a little. But we would have started faster. You know, we could have ended faster. But we just got to trust each other. Charge each other talent. You know, everybody here for a reason. And if everybody play their game and, you know, do their job, then we'll be good. And I wouldn't say, you know what I'm saying, you talking to like 500 pounds, you know what I'm saying? You probably talking about 430 or something, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, sound good. Right here, we got Brian Burns, man, a younger guy that's really good, that's going to be the future of this franchise here soon.
What have you learned from hanging around Super Mario, Brian?
I learned a lot, honestly. Just really get out my head and just trust my training and go rely on my skills, rely on my talent, and do what I do best. He really taught me how to handle all the criticism and take it in and really consider everything that everybody's saying and just put it on the field.
Is he teaching you, too, about how to be a pro off the field as well?
Definitely. Taking care of your body, going things about a certain way because you're in the limelight, so you got to handle yourself such as. And he's really doing a great job by mentoring me about that.
Well, let's get the numbers right. So what are you weighing right now?
Right now, I'm about 242.
And you, Super Mario?
255.
So it's almost over 500 pounds you two added together. And throw me in there, that makes it about 650. So we'll be ready to roll. Is the locker room still unified in your mind, Super Mario?
Yes. You know, it's hard. It's hard, you know, when you lose, man, I done seen locker rooms get tore apart and everybody started doing their own thing. But at the end of the day, you know, it's bigger than football here. You know, we're a family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these guys, man, we ain't going to turn on each other. We're going to rely on each other, you know, make sure everybody step up. You know, we still hold each other accountable here, you know, and we got a job to do. And we're going to do it to the best of our ability.
You feel the same way, Brian?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like in this situation that we're in, we should come closer than ever. So right now, we're just trying to come as close as we can to get these last two and finish on a strong note.
All right, sounds good. We'll let you guys go. One last question. Mario Addison and Brian Burns with us. We got this Indianapolis Colts game coming up. Super Mario, what do you think about what the Colts have been doing here lately?
I really don't know too much about what they're doing right now. You know, I studied my opponent during the week. And I don't even know if they're doing bad or good right now, but I know the guy that's in front of me, you know, who's stopping me to get into the quarterback is the guy that I'm gonna have to, I'm gonna study the most on. And I know Brian gonna do the same.
Whoever that is gonna be in for a long day. Jacoby Brissett, their quarterback, and he'll be playing inside. So how's your body holding up, Brian? This time of year at Florida State, you'd be about ready for a bowl game and final exams.
Yeah, I'm good. Surprisingly, it was a long season. I mean, it's very different from college, but I still feel good. I'm still fresh.
Thanks for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Brian Burns, thank you, Mario Addison.
Yes, sir.
This player interview brought to you by Jack Black's Men's Skincare, the locker room favorite of your Carolina Panthers. Find it at getjackblack.com, Nordstrom, and Ulta. Stay tuned. Panther Talk continues after this. This is Panther Talk, brought to you by Atrium Health, because you deserve to live your best life, and we're here to help.
I thought we had a better week of preparation this week. I thought our guys were really focused and practiced on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Again, their attitude, their effort, their preparation, it was on point. It was on point as far as what we need to do in order to come in this football game to win. We made some mistakes, obviously, during the ball game that Seattle made us pay for, and a good football team will make you pay for those mistakes.
Panther Talk continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
It's the Marty Herney segment of Panther Talk. 2019 season going by quickly. Two games remain. As we take a quick glance in the rearview mirror, Marty, what were some of the positives you saw from the Panthers yesterday?
Well, I think, Mick, we hung in the game and gave ourselves a chance to win at the game. We couldn't get the defensive stop we needed. I think everybody felt it. I think the sidelines felt there was a confidence. You could feel it that, you know, if we could get that stop and get the ball back, we were going to go down and score a touchdown and win the game. And that was kind of a neat feeling to have when you're on a losing streak like we are, and especially, you know, behind in that sixth straight game. I think to have that feeling was good. Now, you know, on the other hand, there were things we did earlier that we did a lot of good things. I think, you know, our offensive line overall played fairly well. I think that we did a lot of good things offensively. Really, on the whole, made it hard for one of the elite quarterbacks in this league for a big part of the game. But defensively, we gave up too many explosive plays, runs and passes. Offensively, we made too many mistakes and turned the ball over. And you know, you can't do those things and beat a good team like Seattle at home. But there were a lot of good flashes, but at the end of the day, you know, it's just we need to get that win so bad because everybody's just tired of, you know, six straight's hard.
Yeah, it takes a toll on everybody. Football is such a game of confidence in how you feel about yourself, how a team feels about himself. Marty, you think, is it possible that should we go to the Colts and get a win, that could set up a better performance for the final regular season game?
Let me tell you what, our staff, our players, everybody's doing everything they can. I'll say this during the week. I mean, we're having good practices. We're working hard. Like I said, I thought the effort yesterday was very good, and it's just, you know, you have to be able to make that key play at the key time, and we haven't been able to do that recently. And yesterday, you know, it was we got a couple. They had a couple offensive penalties that gave us a couple of chances on that second to last drive Seattle had, and last possession, I should say. You know, and if we get a stop there, you never know. But we couldn't get it, and that's just the type of things been happening. There are a couple of close plays that could have gone our way that didn't earlier in the game, and it's just you just have to be able to make that play that gets you over the hump, and it's hard. It's you know, getting that, doing that when you've lost some games in a row in this league is extremely hard to do.
Marty Herney with us on Panther Talk. Marty, outside the building, if things aren't going well with the starting quarterback, it's easy for fans to go, I'll put the backup in. We all understand that. How does it work inside the building?
Well, I think that, you know, we look at what Kyle has done this year, and you know, we lose our starting quarterback in Cam and the second game, and Kyle is essentially a rookie quarterback that came in the season as a backup, and he's done a phenomenal job. He really has. He's made a lot of plays, and some of the mistakes, some of the errors he's made are typical. You look at any rookie quarterback in the league that has played this year and in past years, and that's part of the growing process of that position. So Kyle has done a great job. You know, we've got Will Grier. The question will be as we go along, do we want to give him a look at some point? But I can't say enough about the way Kyle Allen has stepped in into a leadership role and really done a lot of good things. But, you know, he's a young quarterback. We made that decision to go in with two young backups. We thought that was the way you develop them. I still believe that that's the right way. I think Kyle has done as good a job as anybody that would be in his position would do. And we just keep evaluating and developing. That's what we have to do.
I lost track. Where's the roster right now, Marty? Are there spots that you might look to fill for these last two games?
Well, right now we're at 53. We'll go over the injury stuff with Ryan probably tomorrow. But right now the main focus is to go in Indy and try to win a football game. And we have a lot of young players on this roster to begin with, so we have a lot of young players to continue to evaluate. And if there's an opening or a spot that we think we need to bring somebody up, we certainly will do that. A
couple last things. We'll cut you loose. Before you and I started to talk, we had Mario Addison, who kind of helped interview Brian Burns. Is there a lot to like about this young rookie Brian Burns and the way he's coming on and trying to learn the game?
Yeah, there really is. I mean, he is it's so important to him, Mick, and he is very talented. Again, a young guy, and you know, I'll just go back to DJ Moore last year and look at where he was and how he came on strong at the end of the year and now what he's done this year. I mean, he's in the top five receiving in the National Football League, and I think that Brian Burns is really following a similar path. He started off quickly. I think he got slowed down by having the cast on for a month or so. He's got all the skill set as a defensive end or outside linebacker, or whatever you want to call it, as a pass rusher in this league, and it's important to him. He works extremely hard. He's got length. He's got quickness. He's got change of direction, and I think he's going to be a really, really good player in this league.
Let's end it right here. Also, before I came down to talk to you, we heard from Perry Fuel. It strikes me that being an interim head coach has got some challenges to it. Do you like the way he has stepped in to the leadership breach and tried to run things?
It's got a lot of challenges to it, and yes, he's done a tremendous job. I can't say enough about the job Perry's done stepping in, and you know, especially you come in and you replace somebody that is so respected like Ron Rivera. But Perry has stepped in and has the respect of the players. I think you saw that, by the way, we fought to the last play yesterday, and he's done a tremendous job, and I can't say enough about Perry and the rest of the staff, the way they've worked and gotten the players to keep the way we practice during the week every day and the way we approach games.
That's the boss of the Carolina Panthers over on the football side, Marty Herney. Marty, thanks for your time on Panther Talk, and we'll see you this week.
Thanks, man.
Tonight's visit with Marty Herney brought to you by FanDuel, proud daily fantasy partner of the Carolina Panthers. Any comments on Marty's comments before I tell you a little something about Mario Addison and Brian Burns and interviewing them today?
I think, you know, we're seeing the evaluation. We're seeing Will Grier is the likely scenario. The Panthers have not announced it, but that's been the report that's been everywhere today. So I think they're evaluating that, and they're developing young players. And I agree, Eugene, we talked about coaching earlier. I think, you know, Perry Fuel is the right guy to be the interim coach. Mm-hmm. And you want to finish with a professionalism and a guy that has that pedigree, it has that demeanor to be a head coach. So I agree with Nick with your conversation with what Marty was saying there about Coach Fuel and the way they've been handling things in a tough situation.
And a tough job to step into to do, indeed. And Marty articulated that, and I totally agree with that. It's a tough job.
Without doubt. What was the movie where Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor walked through the prison?
Blue Streak.
And they're trying to get to make sure they had that. Well, that's kind of like when I walk through the locker room downstairs after we've lost, you know, you got to have a certain swing in your step, you know. So I'm walking through, they're going, that's right, that's right. I got my tape.
We bad. We bad. Yeah. We bad. How do I know that line? But I don't have no idea.
Yeah, that's so, like a 30-year-old flashback.
Yeah, I roll up on Mario Addison, and, you know, I've told you before, it's like the Grim Reaper, you know. Nobody wants to see your humble correspondent when you've lost, but the guys are great. But anyway, I said, Super Mario, I said, I need somebody to hold still for a couple of minutes and talk to me. He said, no, man, I ain't doing it. And I said, well, will you help me find someone then? So he says, come with me. So he takes me over to Brian Burns.
Okay.
And then he says some street talk. I wish I could
because Burns wasn't feeling it either, but Mario said something about me, like he's straight or he's fly or he's what was that other word I thought he used? Fresh, something like that. He said something like that to indicate to me.
He's a fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Did he say you were, did he say at any point you were dynamite?
I'll let me work with you. Right on, Mick.
But he said,
it was like 1975.
I could hear Super Mario say, no, it ain't.
No, that's
like
my man. He got it going
like
on. Man,
shows.
He's fresh. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like he'll do right by you. So, whatever it was that Mario said to Brian, Burns said, yeah, okay, that's fine. So I started my tape recorder. But Mario didn't leave. He still stood there. So I figured if you're going to still stand here, you're going to be a part of this show too. And I loved it. I appreciated those
guys.
You got
buy one, get one free.
Yeah, I know, man.
And let me just give you just a little love here, right here. You got a lot of street credit in that locker room. Cats like you. They like you because you're straight up. And no doubt about that. And because you're straight up, they will endorse you and say, hey, you need to get with Mick Mixon. He's one of us. You're one of the cats in the locker room, dude.
I don't know about it. I appreciate that.
No, you are. And because if you weren't one of the guys, you would not be getting interviews at all, especially in the time when you're losing.
You're fresh.
Yeah, I'd have an interview.
Right on, Mick.
Yeah. Yet again on Panther Talk, the assistant ticket manager for the Carolina Panthers.
High five me, Mick.
Slap me five.
Slap me five.
Oh, my gosh. You guys ain't right, but we've known that for a long time. All right.
We bet.
Come back with more Panther Talk. Another little Cam Newton thing I forgot to tell you about. That'll be next. This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Panther Talk continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Got Eugene Robinson to my right, the Zoke to his right, in the Langtonian Institute of Broadcasting Studios, just outside the Charlie Dayton press box on the fourth floor at Bank of America Stadium. Where's Byron tonight?
He's not been here for a month.
What a putt.
He's not been here in a month.
No, he's been here.
No. Wendell's been here for a month.
Wendell and David and
Black
DL. David Langton.
No, where's Chloe is the question.
Yeah, our intern. It's been such a year that even the interns are bailing out. They've decided a career in...
We're trying to get David Eade some reps here late in the season.
Chloe decided that a career in insurance adjusting looks more exciting than this. I was thinking about Cam Newton, and I don't know, this is a little tangential, but Cam Newton reminds me in a way of my late mother, Sandy Mixon. When she was in a good mood, it was like the sun came out. She could do accents. She could do voices, big-time smile. She could sing. Bette Midler, Judy Garland. Her laugh was like water babbling over creek rocks. It was just incredible. When she was not in a good mood, however, her brunette hair turned to hissing serpents, and when she looked at you, you would turn to stone.
Not the straight Medusa, right?
I'm telling you.
Really?
And in a way, that kind of reminds me of QB1. You know, he could come in the locker room, and let's play a game of bin ball, and everybody's in. Who's with me? Panthers on three, ready, break. But, you know, it's a dark side to it, too, I think.
Okay, so where are we going with it?
I don't know. I'm just trying to fill time to the next break.
So Chloe's not here, do you all see that?
No, yeah, I get you, because most people don't know in that locker room, Cam is really fun. Most people would not even know that, like playing the basketball and whatnot in the locker room and hanging out and kind of being the life of the party. There's a lot of energy. And you know, just someone a little bit eccentric out there with the guys, but that's the locker room, and that's just the tenor of the locker room. How every locker room is kind of set up. You're always going to have a guy like a Cam Newton who's going to be the life of the party.
But you know what? He learned to be a captain and a leader. Because remember year or two, it was like he had never lost at Auburn and won a national championship, and he came here and we started losing games, and he didn't know what that was, what that feeling was. So it was all that, the towel over the head, pouting, the comments in the post game, and then he became the guy that was going up and down the bench during games and getting guys up and being motivated, being a leader and being a captain after that point. But that was a learned behavior that he got by being in the league for a little while.
You know, and that's just a maturation process of Cam Newton. I think having kids, becoming an adult and that, you just grow up. You just really do. And football grows you up, but also life just grows you up. And having kids will definitely grow you up.
Incredibly so. When we come back, Jacoby Brissett, T.Y. Hilton, and the Indianapolis Colts will give you a scouting report with the guys when we continue with Panther Talk in just a second.
Panther Talk continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Mick, the Zoke, Genie Rob, a little bit about the Colts. They're 6-7. They play tonight, but they started out 5-2. They have lost five of their last six, including a 2-point loss at Pittsburgh. Then they lost to the Dolphins. Adam Vinatieri had some kicking problems. He missed 6 PATs and 8 field goals.
Ouch!
And but they, you know, they're right there, a little bit like, you know, the Carolina Panthers with some losses in close games. How does a Jacoby Brissett hit you guys at quarterback? What are you thinking, Jim?
I think he's a steady quarterback. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I'm looking at his numbers. His quarterback rating is 93.2. His completion is right at about almost 64%. But I like his touchdown-to-interception ratio. He has 18 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions. So that means he's careful with the ball. He also has 3 touchdowns rushing the ball. So you, and when I look at all the guys he's throwing the ball to, one guy has 35 catches, 38 catches, 35 catches, 36 catches. Everybody's touching the ball, so he's really distributing the ball across the field. That's just a credit to that coaching staff to make sure you delegate the ball and get everybody involved in it. And because of that, you can actually go ahead and win some games. So he's a really steady at the quarterback position.
I think he's good, and the problem is he had to follow Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck to be the next in that line with the Colts. And they have not had by far the number one receiver is T.Y. Hilton, and he's been dinged up a lot of the year. Of course, Brissett was out earlier this year, and then Marlon Mack got hurt for a period of time. So they've just been one of those snake bit teams with injuries at key positions this year. And like you said, they had a good first half of the season. They just weren't able to sustain. I had a lot of respect for Frank Reich, their coach, what he did last year. Carolina Panthers' original starting quarterback back in 1995 in the early days here, and lived in Charlotte for a long time. So a fan of Frank Reich, and it'll be interesting to see how they do against the Saints tonight.
And they protect the quarterback. They doesn't have 20 sacks. I mean, they protect the quarterback.
Other than the Panthers, it's one of my favorite unis, too. Classic look with that Colt, that horseshoe.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, I just get reminiscent of Johnny Unitas when I see them.
Yeah, black shoes, number 19. Yeah, that had promise.
I'm not that old, so I don't really know what that meant.
All right, good show, guys. Thank indeed. You, guys. For Eugene Robinson, for Jim Zoki, for the rest of our crew, this is Mick, and you've been listening to Panther Talk, an exclusive presentation of the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, and we'll see you on December 23rd for more of same. Good night.
This has been Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network. Brought to you by Bank of America, official bank of the Carolina Panthers. Atrium Health, the official healthcare provider of the Carolina Panthers. This is the care you demand. Coke, official soft drink of the Carolina Panthers.
Panther Talk.
Panther Talk.
Panther Talk.
This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.